as you're singing that song, we don't have sense enough to know when to clap. We don't know when we're supposed to clap and when we're not supposed to clap, and we want to the entire time. We want to leap to our feet, and we want to stand up, and we want to clap, and we want to shout. But then we remind ourselves that it's raining outside and that we're also Methodist. So that's not a good method. So we restrain that tug that the Holy Spirit has on us. And so maybe we can. Maybe you can continue to sing with that kind of timing, and we will leap to our feet at some point. But thank you. Thank you for singing. Thank you for sharing. That's a wonderful song. I want to invite y'all into the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. I know a few weeks ago that I told you that John, well, this is on a Wednesday night, that John has been that gospel that I have found for this year. And so I've been shifting into Matthew lately as I pray and as I move with the Holy Spirit. So Matthew chapter 11, last two verses in that entire chapter is what we are going to lift up this morning. But Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28, continuing through verse 30, if you are paying attention to the children, this will not be a surprise to you. Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's all bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do give you thanks for these words, because we know that in these words are the words of life. And we pray and ask that as our hearts are open before you, that you may speak new life into our very lives, Lord. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have not only given to me, but all the words that we have sung together, the words that have been shared in this moment of worship. And I pray and ask, Lord, that in all that we have done and all that I am doing, these will be words that are pleasing, that they'll be acceptable to you, and Lord, truly, that you may draw us closer and closer to your heart. For this we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. I couldn't help but think as Leslie was singing, as she is offering this psalm for us, who is that person that you know that is one of the most inviting people that you know, one of the most inviting people that you've been around. And when I say inviting, I guess that we're in a place where we know what it's like to be invited to something. We know that it's I'm not talking about that kind of fake invitation. I'm not talking about that kind of, they want something from you. They want something out of you. I'm talking about a person that is just truly inviting, and it just flows out of who they are. It's not an ad. There's no ulterior motive that is there, but they're generous. They're gracious. They're inviting, and in fact, not only from that inviting, but it's a pleasure to be around this person. I was in church one time. I was serving a church one time, and there was this man that was in church, and we were getting, it was in the month of February, we were getting closer and closer to Valentine's Day, and I asked him about his Valentine's plans. I knew that he lived by himself. I knew that he was a bit older. And so I asked him, I said, on Valentine's Day, what are you going to be doing? And he said, well, I'm going to have dinner with some friends. And there was an administrator at the church that had been there much longer than I had and knew a lot more about him, and said, yeah, he is going to be having dinner with some friends. And said, in fact, he had dinner with five different women last year, some of them from the church, some of them that are just, friends of his from the community, and said that what he did is in having dinner with all these people on Valentine's Day is that before any of them arrived, he made plans for them to have tablecloths that were on the tables. There were white napkins that were folded on the plates there, and then there were five red roses that were sitting around the table before the first person to that dinner, before the first person arrived there. That's the kind of person that I'm talking about. The kind of person that, just has this kind of quality in their life where invitations like that and where plans like that, they just come out of them. They just come out of who they are. You know, we are at a place where each Valentine's Day in our country, there are around 36 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate that are sold every single year. Now, you can check on Google, it's my source for that. So that was just a simple question into a Google search engine is where that came from. But what I want us to focus on today, and in this moment that we're here, is that more than boxes of chocolate, I love being around people. It's the very kind of person that Leslie was singing about this morning, but I love being around people whose hearts have been shaped and molded by love. And today what I want us to do is to spend a couple of minutes focused on the heart of Jesus that was shaped and was molded by love. Because when we see the heart of Jesus, we see the potential that every single one of our hearts can have too. You see, one of the great things about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no matter where you find that is they are not stories that are told of, from just historical standpoint. Although they do have historical moments in them, they're also not biographies that are just told so that we can learn about this person's life, although they do have biographical elements in them. They're stories of invitation. They're stories that are invited us. And so as we focus on the heart of Jesus, I want to invite you to see that, the potential that your own heart may have. There's no doubt that Jesus is one of those people. I don't think I would have to convince anybody that is here in this room or watching online that Jesus is one of those inviting people. I mean, there were episodes early in the Gospels where Jesus will know someone's name and then someone else will say, well, how is it that you know my name? Where Jesus would see someone sitting under a tree and says, well, how did you know? This part of Jesus just flows out of who he is. But what is really easy to overlook at times is this heart of Jesus. That's what Matthew captures quite perfectly when he invites us at the end of Matthew chapter 11, where he invites us to see this invitation that comes to Jesus, this invitation and this picture of Jesus that is in fact one of the most heartfelt invitations that you can imagine. Imagine this as an invitation once again. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus says, and again, probably no surprise, Jesus says, come to me. We know people like that. We know people who invite us close to them. We feel better being around those kinds of people that are inviting, that invite us to come into their presence. We also know the opposite of that. We know the opposite of people that we oftentimes don't want to be around. Physically feel it in our stomachs sometimes when we kind of double over when we just see them coming. We know that opposite of not being an open, also not being a very inviting person. But Jesus says, not only come to me, but he says, those burdens that you're carrying, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, learn from me, and you can expect that there will be rest for your souls. Being yoked or being bound together with Jesus is easy. The burden of Jesus, the burden of Jesus, in fact, in our own lives is light. And by itself, this invitation, as powerful and transformative, especially compared with every other message that we encounter most days, as powerful and transformative as this is, did you notice that in the middle of this, perhaps because I've already tilted my hand, I've already revealed it to the children that were here, maybe that's important, maybe they do need to be reminded of it first, but did you notice what these two verses tells us about the heart of Jesus? That the heart of Jesus that we find is gentle and humble. And why is it important for us to know about the heart of Jesus? Well, it's because that invitation that Jesus gives, and oftentimes those very inviting people that we find ourselves around, those very invitational people that we encounter in this world, it flows out of their hearts. And it certainly does from Jesus. Jesus called to come to me, you who are tired and carrying heavy loads. Jesus called who says, come and you will find rest. It is all because of his heart. A heart that is gentle, a heart that is humble, and a heart that reaches and connects with people just like us because it is gentle and because it is humble. In fact, it's a call that comes in the midst of people that are not, well, like many of us are here this morning, but it comes in the midst of people who are trying to hold it all together on their own, wondering why we can't sleep some nights. Now, we have those kinds of feelings. We have those sleepless nights where we toss and turn. We have those moments when we think, I can't hold it together. But we push those away for Sunday morning, right? It's not polite. It's not reverent. So we push those away just for a little bit on Sunday morning, and yet they return to us. Those burdens that we try to stack on top of an ever-increasing pile of burdens that we know for sure does not lead to that more and better life that Jesus promises each of us. But in the meantime, we find that these are the very loads that has the potential to destroy our own hearts. That's a message that, by the way, your cardiologist will agree with too. That anxiety and stress and not sleeping, each, all of those things harms our hearts. But it's why Jesus, from his own heart, says, come to me. It's why Jesus is so concerned about our own hearts. Just search yourself. Just take a look through the Gospels. Take a look through the rest of the New Testament. Take a look, in fact, through the entire Bible and the Hebrew Scriptures and the Old Testament and discover how many places it says to bring your hearts not only to Jesus but also to the Lord, to God throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. You see, our hearts, when they're transformed, when they're redeemed, or what Dallas Willard, this wonderful writer on spirituality, describes as when our hearts are renovated. I absolutely love that phrase, those renovated hearts. When our hearts are transformed by Jesus, when they are redeemed, when they are renovated by Jesus, that's when everything else in our lives begins to change. And in fact, for Jesus, it was the invitation of, come to me, all of you who are weary. All of you who are tired, and I would imagine you would be hard-pressed to discover there are not many people in our world right now that are not weary and they're not tired, and there are many reasons for that. It's not just COVID either. There are many other reasons as well. But it is from Jesus' heart that Jesus gives that invitation. It is out of what is flowing out of Jesus' heart that we hear those words, take my yoke upon you. It is easy, it is light, and it is also Jesus who reminds us. And the burden that you will find of having Jesus in your heart is also light. It will be before Jesus, in fact, several centuries before Jesus, that a proverb that is widely known in the Hebrew Scriptures says this, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You see, it's from a gentle and humble heart of Jesus that we have the invitation to come to Jesus when we are carrying heavy loads, burdens, and in fact, when we just are tired and worn out. And that there will be rest. Imagine the potential among people just like us giving Jesus permission to transform our hearts, giving Jesus permission to redeem or even to renovate our hearts from the inside out. Imagine what kind of impact could people with gentle and humble hearts just like Jesus have on our world, not only in the month of February, but in fact until we all reach that moment where we are on the streets of gold and face to face with Jesus. It's Margaret Mead, the anthropologist, who wrote this, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And imagine, Imagine what that change in this world looks like when it is led by people that have the heart of Jesus in their very own lives. Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that not only has Jesus Christ taken on flesh in this world, but we thank you, O God, that from out of that flesh beats a heart that is gentle and humble, a heart that is revealed to each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that in all of the work of transforming and redeeming our own hearts, that you, O God, that you will set us with hearts that are made acceptable in your sight, and that you, O God, will let the life, the springs of life, flow from each and every one of our hearts. Because that is, Lord, what you have called us to do. To take our hearts, to let them be transformed by you, to then live with new and cleansed hearts. Lord, may our new and cleansed hearts be made acceptable to you, and may they bring life in this world. For this we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And it is with the invitation of Jesus that you are invited to celebrate in Holy Communion this morning. You do not have to be a member at Grace Point. You do not have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. All are invited by Jesus. All those who seek to live at peace with God and also who seek to live at peace with one another are invited to come. And so I would like to invite